Thank you for tuning in for the next 30 minutes to Victory Gospel Lighthouse Church. We are located at 907 Howard Street in Jennings, Louisiana. We would like to invite you to be our guest Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for our regular service and Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. for Bible study. For more information, please contact us at P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. Now stay tuned for an exciting and anointed message from Pastor Austin Spell.
If you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Joshua, the fourth chapter. We'll read some scripture there. I thought Brother Summers was going to, Brother Dean Summers was going to preach part of my message when he started talking about the stones, and I said, no, son. Don't say no more. But he did anyway. How many enjoyed Brother Summers last week? Oh, I'll tell you, he's quite a guy. And he was right. I was able to pull him out of the mud three times, but I told him, you go down again, you're on your own. Let the alligators get you, because I can't help you no more. Praise the Lord. Joshua chapter 4, and we want to invite those who are listening by Facebook this morning to join us in service. May the Lord bless you for being with us, and those who will hear the message down the road on HLE Radio. Oh, by the way, continue to pray for HLE Radio as we reach out further and further with the gospel. Amen. Spreading the good news of the gospel. That's what the Lord's called us to do. You're doing it, and we appreciate your help in that, but continue to pray and support HLE Radio. Chapter 4, verse number 1, the Bible says, and it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and commanded ye them, saying, take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, that ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial for the children of Israel forever. I want to talk just a few minutes this morning about these stones and what they mean, what they meant, and why Joshua was instructed to take these stones. Now remember, these stones were not some little pebbles. As we read in the scripture, they had to carry them on their shoulder. That means they picked up some big stones and carried them to the place where they were to put them on the other side of Jordan. And you may ask this morning, what's the significance of this story for us today? Because it was written some 1,450 years before Jesus Christ. That's a long time, and we're 2,500 years after Christ. And what's the story behind this? What's the memorial behind this? And you have to understand that the Word of God, in all of its glory, is very relevant to all times, all people, all the time. So it's not something that we just use once in a while. It is that which is relevant to us today, as it regards that which Jesus was the Lord would instruct us to do today. The Old Testament is a schoolmaster to the New Testament. As Kristen brought out, teaching the book of Revelation, that there's so much of the Old Testament that we have to have to support everything that God tells us in the New Testament, and it does support that. So it's very important for us to know that it's relevant to all the people all of the time, regardless of when it was written, because time does not alter the inspired Word of God. All Scripture is inspired by the Spirit, 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us. So it's all important, letting us know that we can't pick and choose what we would like to have and what we'd like to leave out. Because sometimes this thing, well, I should say quite often, this Word becomes that two-edged sword that pierces asunder. Yeah, and it divides and it conquers. So time doesn't alter it at all, because the Spirit of God never grows old. The words that are inspired by the Spirit will never grow old. They will always be young, they will always be new, and they will always have a message for us. So we have to remember, God's instruction to Joshua had a specific message to it. Everything we hear in God's Word, God's giving us a message. We have to pay close attention to it sometimes to get the message. But it's inspired by the Holy Spirit, and the message is as clear to us today as it was then. In fact, it's even more clear for us today, because we, under the new covenant, have many promises that God's already given us that were given in the Old Testament. And the Bible tells us a lot of those, or many of those, or all of those, never saw it to come to pass. They prophesied about Jesus. They talked about him. Some of them didn't understand, I'm sure, just what it was all about, but they did what God said. And it's relevant for us today. So it has a specific message to it. And everything God tells us in his Word has a purpose. Wants to achieve something in our lives. That's why he tells us to study this Word, because it's important for us to learn what he's speaking to us, what message it is, because it has a purpose for us. When we get to the Word, we can understand God's purpose from his Word to our lives. We become comfortable and we want to know more and more and more about God's Word. But those stones would be a sign, he said, for you, that when your children ask about what they were there for, you would tell them about the miracle. The miracle that God had performed for the crossing over the River Jordan. God wanted their children, their great-grandchildren, their great-great-great-grandchildren, all of them. He wanted all of them, all in that lineage, to know how they had made it to the promised land. Jordan was that river that separated Israel after they had traveled through the desert for all those years. They came upon Jordan, and Jordan separated them from the promised land. The promised land was on the other side. And they came to this river that was raging out of its banks, overflowing, and was very, very treacherous at that time of the year. And they could not cross over into the promised land without a miracle from God. There are many things that God has promised you and I that we can't have unless God performs a miracle. That's why we must understand we serve a miracle-working God. And he performed a miracle for each one of us when we got saved. And he still performs miracle for us. Sometimes we don't deserve it. But by his grace, which is that thing that God gives us when we don't deserve it, but he gives it to undeserving man, because he loves what he created. So God wanted their children. And you notice he said it would be an everlasting memorial to the children of Israel. Well, God's word now becomes an everlasting memorial for you and for me. God wanted it that way. The question remains today, what are we leaving our children? He said, set up the stones so your children and the lineage can remember. When they see those large stones set up there like an altar and they ask you what it was all about, then you can tell them how God performed a miracle and we got over into the promised land. Amen. How many parents today can tell their children how they got into the promised land? You say, well, I'm not in the promised land. Yes, you are if you got saved. Yeah, you're in the land where God's promises are yea and nay for you. All his promises are made to those who are here today, living Christian lives wherever they may be. His promises are for us. We are in that promised land that he promised to us under a new covenant, with the power of God working in our lives. So he said, you set this up so your children can remember what it's all about. And so as it was then, it is today. So the question for us is, what kind of stone of remembrance are we leaving for our children and our grandchildren? Amen. Thank you very much. What are we leaving them? What's our heritage to them? When they ask us questions, what are we going to tell them about our lives? Ooh. What are we going to be able to say? Well, this is the stone. This is God's word. This is a stone of remembrance. I remember when God performed this miracle for me. I remember when God healed me. I remember when they said after open heart surgery, I only had 5 years to live. But listen, I'm going to take you to the stone. I've been here 27 years after that. Glory to God. Yeah. What are we going to tell our kids when they ask us about how God has performed his miracle for us? Joshua said, set up these stones so you can remember what God has done for you. Live your life in front of your children so when they ask you, when your grandchildren ask you questions about God's word, you'll be able to tell them, I stood faithful in the times of trial and tribulation when the devil wanted to kill me, but God said no. Yeah, we have to have a testimony in front of our children today. The stones of remembrance set up on the bank of Jordan provided an occasion for parents to teach their children about the power of God. You got to create an occasion where you can tell your children. You've got to talk to them about God. You've got to have a conversation about what God has done for you. If you can't think of anything that God has done for you, then you better testify about your salvation. Tell them where God brought you from. Yeah. I know you hate to hear it, but listen. All of us that got saved had a life before we got saved. Don't brag about what you did in sin, but let them know where God brought you from. God brought us all to the Jordan one day, and it took a miracle for us to cross over. But the stones that he set up, he said, remember this. It's God's performance of miracles. So the stones brought about an occasion for parents to teach their children of the powerful faithfulness of God. And the Bible provides an occasion for parents today to teach their children about God and his miracles. We have the stone. Yeah, the Bible talks about him being the stone. The psalmist called him a rock. Yeah, you know, we use that terminology quite often, that we're standing on the rock. And we can all say there are many times when I've trembled on the rock, but the rock never trembled under me. He's always been there steadfast. And he didn't tell us to build our homes and our houses on the sand. He said, build it on the rock. The solid foundation, that's Jesus Christ. So we have a story to tell. That's what Joshua was telling his people. These rocks are going to be a memory place for you to tell your story. You're going to have a story. Can you imagine being one of those Israelites that crossed over the Jordan on dry ground? They were a new generation. The old generation that crossed over the Red Sea had spent 40 years in the wilderness when it was only a 10-day trip or 11-day trip to get to the Promised Land. How many people have lived their entire life in the wilderness when it's just a short trip to the cross to get to the Promised Land? So they spent all of those years, and because they mumbled and they grumbled, oh Lord. They complained. See, they didn't have a rock. They were supposed to have one, but they never recognized it. They mumbled and they complained and they moaned and they groaned and then they turned against their leader. Go ahead. Sometimes the church does that, you know. Some people don't want to hear the truth, so they go where they can hear something else. Come on. If I had all the people in this building this morning that told me that God sent them to me and to our church to help out, we'd have to build a bigger building. And I say to myself, it must have not been God, because you didn't stay but a week or two. There's only one thing I got to say about that. And that is, I hope I preached enough truth that they didn't want to hear. Because that's what I'm responsible for. I realize one day I'm going to stand before God. I'm going to stand before the bar just like you will. But I think the bar will be higher for me, for preachers that God has called to preach His Word, and for millions that do not preach His Word because they're not called. Their mama and daddy called them, or grandma called them, or they were looking for an easy way out. God didn't give me a robe when He called me to judge you. He gave me a Bible to preach to you. And like Joshua with the children of Israel crossing over the Jordan, we got to remember some things that God has done for us. We got to remember God's Word, because it's the truth. It stands for the truth. It will forever be the truth. And it leaves us with a story to tell about our own selves. A story to tell about our faithfulness. Amen. You have to remember that your children and your grandchildren are watching your life. I remember, and you probably will too, a commercial way back then in the day. Showed a man and his little boy sitting under a tree. The man was smoking a cigarette. He got about halfway finished with it. He laid it down and walked off, and this little old boy picked it up. Boy, there's a stone to leave for your kids, huh? There's a legacy to leave. I'm not telling you this sin or that sin. I'm not a clothesline preacher, but I want to tell you, God tells us to do some things in His Word, and if we don't obey His Word, we can't expect Him to bless us. You say, well, I get blessed anyway. Well, the devil's good at that. The devil will bless you so he can keep you. But if he keeps you, you're on the wrong wagon, going in the wrong direction. So what kind of heritage are we leaving for our children? How do we act? Oh, we pray for our teenagers, and we should. We pray for our kids, and we should. Huh? But prayer without a legacy does no good. You got to leave them something. You got to leave them a stone. You got to leave them something that they can build their lives on, especially in this world today. We used to say the world's going to hell in a handbasket. The world's going to hell on a fast train. Done picked up speed. Hell hath enlarged her boundaries. What kind of story will you tell to your children, to your grandchildren? The stones that men carry out of the Jordan River were large stones. They had to carry them on their shoulder. That represents you and I with a large testimony. A great testimony for our kids and our grandkids. They were not some little rock or pebble. They were a great stone. This Word of God is the greatest stone you can set your feet upon and live it. Because God will help you to live it. They were large stones placed in a position so that the people and their children could remember. Look back and remember what God has done. Look back at the miracles He's performed. Don't look back at the life of sin we had. Don't look back at your mistakes. No. Now, you put this stone, this book, in your life. And your home, and your children, and your grandchildren will have something to look back to. They'll have a stone. Not some little pebble that they couldn't see, but a stone. The Bible says this is not done in darkness. This was done in the light for you and for me. These stones are a symbol of a greater stone that was yet to come for them. One who hung on an old rugged cross. And that cross becomes our stone today because this book and that cross are one and the same. Later in the scripture, the psalmist would call him the cornerstone of the foundation in Psalm 118:22. The cornerstone of the foundation of what? The church. The stone that we stand upon, the stone that we're built upon, the stone that we can look back to and say, thank you, Lord, for keeping me and for saving me and for bringing me through the stuff that I should have died with. How many times the devil would have killed you and me? Oh, we can't even count the times because there were times when we didn't even know it. Yeah, but God brought us through. Even when we were lost, God's hand was upon us because somebody prayed for us. Somebody prayed for us. I remember when I was in Germany, my sister and her husband got saved over here in America. Started going to the old Assembly of God church and got saved. And she began to write me letters. You see, we didn't have these phones where you could see people and talk to them. when you left home for 2 years, you stayed away for 2 years. She would write me letters and tell me that she had gotten saved and she was praying for me. And I would read those letters and I would think to myself, what happened to her? See, when you're lost, you don't understand. You don't understand how God moves in your life when somebody is praying for you. But God answers prayer. And every letter that she wrote it with a compassion in it, praying for me. Well, she's gone to heaven now. But I would say her prayers were answered. Somebody prayed for you. Maybe you don't even know who it was. Today in this congregation, people raised their hand and said, unspoken request. The person you were praying for probably don't even know you're praying for them. But the rock knows. The stone knows. And he answers our prayer. We know he does because the Bible tells us that. We have this promise in him that when we pray, we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that he answers the prayer. Now, if you don't know that, there's no need for you to pray. If you don't know that he answers, why pray? Wasting your time. Some people need practice to pray. Yeah. I was having a discussion with a guy one time. We were of two different doctrines, you might say. And he was trying to convince me of something that he thought in the Bible was right, and I was telling him, well, that's what you think, but that's not what's right. We can have an opinion, but if it doesn't line up with this word, it's just like your nose. Everybody's got one, an opinion. So we were having this discussion, and he got a little bit frustrated, and he said, well, I'm just going to have to pray for you. And I said, good. I need the prayer and you need the practice. Yeah. Thank God we practice prayer so we can pray for one another. That's God's way to move in other people's lives. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone rejected by the Jews, but he became the cornerstone of the church of the Gentiles. And now he's our cornerstone today, the foundation. So this is the stone, Jesus Christ, that we must leave as a heritage for our children. Don't worry about leaving them a bunch of money, because then you're going to make them fight with one another to get it. Nobody will be happy with that. Leave them something that will take them to heaven. Leave them Jesus Christ. You and I have a heritage. Somebody comes along and tries to persuade us to do something else that's opposite of God's word, we're not going to do it. Why? Because we have a heritage, the word of God. The cross of Calvary is our heritage today. That's what we have to leave our children and our grandchildren. People without a heritage, easily persuaded.
Pastor Spell and the congregation of Victory Gospel Lighthouse wish to thank you for tuning into our broadcast and want you to join us at the same time next Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for more of God's Word here on HLE Radio. If you would like to partner with us by spreading the gospel, you can send your support to P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. If you would like to listen to more sermons, you can do so by going to hleradio.com and clicking on Online Sermons, Victory Gospel Lighthouse. We hope you will join us next week. God bless you and God bless America.
No, I'm not perfect, and I'll never be. Your sweet forgiveness, Lord, can rescue me. Here Here comes His grace again. There goes my fear. Here comes my Lord and friend to dry my